Ryder Todd here from WFAQ LPFM in Maquantico, Wisconsin, on 101.3 FM, the nation's music source. This is a special interview program called Behind the Lens, connecting cinema and sound. In this episode, we'll be talking with the crew behind the new documentary film about the living legend, soul and funk singer Lee Fields, titled Lee Fields, Faithful Man. And I'd like to introduce some of the crew here behind the lens. And if you could introduce yourselves, say a couple of words to our listeners so they can connect your voice to what they're hearing. So first of all, I'd like to introduce Jessamine Ansari, the director, producer. Hello, Jessamine.
Hi, it's so nice to meet you. Thank you so much for having us. I'm Jessamine. I'm one of the director producers of the project, and we're really excited to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for joining. And Joyce Michon, director, producer, and cinematographer. You could introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Joyce Michon, also one of the director producers and one of the cinematographers of the film.
Okay. Awesome. This is going to be fun. I'd first of all like to start by thanking Paula for connecting us together with the film and the radio station and the program here. I know she's not on the call, but I thought it was interesting that little background. I think I commented on the Lee Fields Facebook page or something, you know, and she then reached out by messenger and said, hey, thanks for commenting. And would you like to continue on talking about Lee Fields? And here we are. One thing leads to another. So the power of social media. So again, thank you, Paula, for connecting us. First of all, Jessamine, can you please begin by sharing with us your first experience with Lee and what led you to commit to making this film?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm not sure if you got the full backstory, but we've been working on this film for a little over 10 years. So it has been a journey. So it got started back in 2013. Actually, my younger sister and her boyfriend at the time, now husband, played me one of Lee's songs, Faithful Man. And I was just totally blown away by it, really struck by his voice. And then when I looked a little bit into him, also very struck by his story. So I reached out to him, not really with any expectations that, you know, that he would be available to make a movie, but he was interested and I was excited. And so at that point, I reached out to my longtime friend, Joyce, to see if she wanted to work on it with me. And at first she said, no way, I don't have time. And then I said, let's just go spend a day with him. Let's see how that goes. And so we went out to his house in New Jersey and we filmed an interview with him. And then we filmed him singing in his garage studio. And I think for both of us, it was just one of the most incredible musical experiences of our lives up to that point. And as we were walking away from his house, I remember Joyce just kind of grabbed my arm and said, all right, I'm in, let's do it. And so that was the start. And, you know, it's been a long road since then, but here we are. The film is done and we have a lot to talk about.
So you just literally saw him perform, or you heard a song, is what you said, being played, or you didn't see him perform prior to that?
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard of him prior to that. I watched a music video of Faithful Man, and then I watched more and more and more performances and listened to more music. And then, yeah, and then looked into his story and said, this is an amazing story and I want to know more. Yeah, that's how it got started.
So then you just reached out and said, hi, can we meet? And I'm thinking about, you know, making a movie or a documentary about you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. At that time in life, I was looking for, something to work on. I mean, me and Joyce both work professionally in the TV and film industry, but I was looking for a project to direct, a feature project to direct, to work on. And I'd been developing a lot of ideas, and everything I developed, you know, it turned out someone was already making that movie. So I think at the time I figured someone must already be making this movie. I'll just reach out and I'm sure it won't go anywhere. And then I was shocked and delighted to discover that no one else was making it and he was interested. So.
Wow, what a great start. I love that. Joyce, okay, so 10 years in the making. Mm-hmm. what took so long?
That is a great question, Todd.
Simple for me to ask.
Right. Well, I think to Jessamine's point, in the beginning, we kind of dove in not knowing exactly how we were going to do it, where it was going to go, all of that. But we knew that it was a story that was powerful. And after that day where we the day we spent with Lee at his home and seeing him sing, we knew we had to do it and that it would be a worthwhile journey to figure it out. And so mm-hmm. we started pretty bare bones. You know, we really didn't have funding. I had just gotten a camera from a grant that I got at NYU while I was in grad school there. And so we had a camera, we had a subject, we had like a basic skill of how to tell stories. Jessamyn and I actually met in college in creative writing class. So we knew that we knew how to tell stories and we just went for it. And really it was a process at each stage of learning as we went, how to get to the next stage. So once we started shooting, it was like, okay, how are we going to put this budget together so that we could actually continue shooting? And as we started to figure that out, it was like, okay, how are we going to edit this movie? That was a very long journey for us to put the story together and to keep putting it together in different ways until we had something that really was clicking. And then the pandemic happened and, we thought, okay, we're just about ready to start going to film festivals. All the film festivals shut down that year. And we just went back into the edit because there's nothing else that we could do at that time. And when we did that, we realized, oh, there's actually quite a bit more work for us to do here to really sharpen how we're telling this story. And that process and that kind of forced period of going back into the edit took a couple of years, and it's really what led to the film that you see today.
I see. Okay. So that pause was given to you more or less, almost, I would say it's a gift, but it allowed the story to grow and add more dimension to the overall arc of telling Lee's story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was the thing, you know, we were struggling in the beginning to get into film festivals and we didn't know why. And that was the change that we needed, that the way that we were telling the story became so much more clear and it really started to sing after we did that process.
Interesting. That's great. Well, Brian's not with us either. He's your PR person, Brian Geldin. I want to reach out and just thank him for sharing the press package that you had mentioned and the bio and the link to the film. So I actually did get a chance to watch not the entire film yet. I'm savoring it. All right. But I did get to deep dive a bit of it. And I want to just mention that I absolutely love the opening scene that shows Lee ironing some pants or something or other in his hotel room, getting ready to perform. It's just so relatable, you know, I'm a neatnik myself and I love looking good stuff, but he's literally ironing. So from such a domestic, tranquil spot, you know, in this hotel room on the road, and then him like walking to the club, and then just he hits the stage and bam, it just explodes. The movie explodes right there and he performs and it's electric. It's totally electric. A great kickoff to your film. It's great.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
The funny thing I'll just mention is that scene used to be at the end of the film. And
yes, and that's one of the changes that we made during the pandemic. So it's funny that you bring that up. Yeah, and putting it actually at the beginning was a huge breakthrough for us.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Structurally.
Okay, well, it works. Isn't that funny? You know, begin with the end in mind sort of thing. And literally, that's exactly what happened. Okay, let's take a little break right now and listen to one of Lee's songs so people get excited about what we're talking about.
All right.
Listen, I got a friend. I did everything I could to keep love in his household. That's the kind of friend I am. I got a friend. He's got a lady. Every time he goes out, it drives me crazy. He says, come on. days you don't know who your friends really are. How can a man be so blind?
So we're back. This is Commander Todd again talking with Jessamine and Joyce, the producers and directors from the film Lee Fields, A Faithful Man. And we just heard a song from him that we just played on the radio here. And what I'd like to ask you both is, what are your goals for this film? What does success look like?
Just to start, and I'd love to hear what Joyce has to say as well. I mean, I think we started really with a promise to Lee to make this film. And so for us, the driving factor has always been to fulfill that promise to Lee and to make sure that this is a movie that Lee is happy with, and also his wife, Chris, who's a big part of the story. And so it's meant a lot to us as we've started to show the film at festivals and broader than that, to hear from Lee that he's really happy with the film, that he's happy where it's gone, and that it's an exciting thing for him and his family. So for us, just that is a huge success, and we're really excited about that. You know, beyond that, we have a lot of exciting things happening with the film right now, and I'll pass the mic to Joyce to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, ultimately, you know, Lee's story has always been a sort of an unsung hero story, and now he's finally having his moment, and that moment keeps growing and keeps getting bigger and bigger. And as his star rises, he's reaching more people, and more people are getting to know him and getting to experience the power of his voice and his music. And we want people to also get to experience the power of his story, because his story truly is a story about the success of an artist who is so committed to himself and his own art, his own music, for so many years, despite every setback and despite all of the challenges that seemed insurmountable to him. He just couldn't quit. And so we want that to be an inspiration to people who enjoy his music, people who need to hear that message and need that example of believing in yourself, because it's truly the message of the film, and it's what we think is so beautiful about his story.
That's great. So the underlying goal is to make Lee happy with his story, you know, with the film itself, right, and the telling of his story, but also that underlying synergy of success that the film brings to him and his career and his life and everything else, that everybody wins then, you know. I think is what you're saying here, to be able to share that story. And it's a great story, starting in when he was born. I think it was 1950 he was born. Is that correct?
I think so. I think
I picked that up in the movie, not to test you guys. But I was reflecting, you know, he grew up in the crucible of the beginnings of soul music, of rock and roll, R&B, jazz. Everything was beginning to bubble in the 1950s. And he was just a kid soaking it up. And to hear his lens of how he was inspired by what he heard and what he grew up with and everything else. We'll talk more about some of the scenes that I got a big kick out of, but I think it's just a fascinating story, and he's a gem we should all cherish, you know, and a great music. So you kind of touched a little bit on some of the early feedback perhaps, and you talked about doing like the film festival circuit and that sort of thing. So is there any distribution target that you have, or continuing on the film festival circuits, or is there press that you're looking for to help bolster all that? If you want to talk about that process a little bit, besides, you know, making everybody happy here.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. So we finally have a release date for North American distribution. The film will be available on February 27th, just a couple of weeks, and it'll be available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and a couple of other platforms like that where people can rent or buy the film and enjoy it at home. So that's a huge success after a global festival tour and after us having a sold out New York premiere at Doc NYC, our world premiere at the Charlotte Film Festival, where we won the Audience Award for Best Documentary Feature in Lee's home state of North Carolina.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's huge. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And when was this?
What year was that? 20?
In 2022. So in late 2022, we started our festival tour. We started with our premiere at the Charlotte Festival and then Doc NYC. And then during 2023, we continued that festival tour and took the film all over the world, to Spain, to the UK. It went to Australia. It played in Poland. It was really exciting, really, really exciting to see audiences all around the world getting to hear Lee's music and see his story.
How fun. You guys went to all these festivals you attended?
We went to a bunch of them. We went to a good number of them, yeah.
Because that gets pretty expensive, no doubt about it, right?
Yeah, yeah, we did it until we couldn't afford to do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I just want to mention, I did allude to one of the scenes here that I just absolutely love. His first corporate ladder job as a paper boy in his hometown in North Carolina, where then he ended up being able to afford his own transistor radio, you know, something near and dear to my heart, and playing it while he rode his bike delivering papers. That scene is just the cutest thing. And of course, you know, you recreate it, not to give it all away here to the audience. But he said, quote, that he felt like a rock star when he was riding his bike and playing the radio like that and delivering papers. And he just then, I think, made the connection between music, of course, and then making money and being a businessman. And he was committed to entertaining and making money at the same time. Really cast the die early in his life, which I thought was great. Let's take another break and listen to another Lee Field song here. And you're listening to the Commander Todd Show on WFAQ LP Maguanago, the Behind the Lens Connecting Cinema and Sound program.
Tomorrow, I can't stand. No, I just can't stand. I can't stand the sight of you leaving me. So put that suitcase down, baby, and let you and me just sit around, talk it over. Yeah. You're just like the air, baby, yeah. You're like the air I breathe. You are everything, everything to me. Thank you.
I'm with Jessamine and Joyce, the directors of the Lee Fields Faithful Man documentary. We just listened to a song from Lee Fields. And I'd like to continue on another observation. Now, the connection to Charles Bradley and Sharon Jones, their documentaries are obvious here, right? And so if you'd like to maybe expound upon maybe those connections and any, you know, relationship there that we can, that you can make. I love Charles Bradley, by the way. I got to see those documentaries, which then led me to see him performing live. He was in Chicago, saw him there, and then playing twice in Milwaukee, and got to meet him and pictures, autographs, and just absolutely fell in love with him and missed them both terribly, you know, both Sharon and, and Charles. Yes. So if you could go ahead, I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. You know, one of the threads that we do follow in the film, we follow Lee's journey all the way up to present day. And one of the major figures in his story is Gabe Roth and Daptone Records. And they're actually working together again now. So, you know, Gabe Roth and Daptone Records are obviously connected to Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. And he's a big figure in that world of soul revival world. So that's the connection there. And Sharon actually does feature a little bit in the film, just in some archival footage and some interesting performances. She sang a couple duets with Lee while she was still with us. And some of those performances are really magical, and we are really lucky we got to include them in the film.
That's solid gold right there.
Yeah. Also, I'll just say that those other films, the films about Sharon and about Charles, were made before this film. You know, there was a time where we're like, oh, I don't know, could we make another film about this music and this group of musicians? But then we realized in talking with Gabe Roth, actually, that in a way, Lee was sort of the grandfather of the whole group. Oh. And Sharon was actually, they met Sharon because they were looking for backup singers on one of Lee's tracks. And so she was the girlfriend of one of the musicians that was working on the track, and they brought her in to do the backing vocals. And that's how Gabe and Sharon met, and her whole career. So yeah,
that's amazing. What a great background story on that. I love it. Love it. That is so cool. I want to mention a couple things because we're getting close to the end here of our conversation. I love the scene where his first exposure to loud music was his parents throwing a rent party. He's talking about the bass. He could like feel the bass through the floor because they turn up the stereo and everyone wiggling around, dancing and everything. I thought that was just solid gold. Thank you. So we're going to take another quick break here and play another Lee Fields song, and we'll return after this.
Dios, the bull is coming home.
Bye.
Okay, and we're back. We're listening to the Nation's Music Source, WFAQ, LP McGonigal. We're interviewing Jessamine and Joyce from the Lee Fields Faithful Man documentary. Thank you so much for joining us. Talk about some of the future for the show. And if you want to wrap things up a little bit and find out where people can connect more with you, with the film, links, Instagram, you know, all the social things.
All right.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead, Joyce.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, the release is February 27th for North American distribution on streaming platforms. So definitely look for us on iTunes, on Google Play, on Amazon, and similar platforms. So that's the big news that we have coming. And then otherwise, you can find us on Facebook, Lee Fields, the film. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Instagram, Lee Fields Doc. Unfortunately, those two are different, but they're both us. And our website is www.leefieldsfilm.com.
Okay. And is there any hopes for it to get like wider distribution, regular theater circuits and that sort of thing, aside from film festivals?
Well, so in addition to our upcoming North America release, we're pursuing international distribution, and we hope to have some news on that very soon. There's a couple of things in the works, so... We hope that our international audience will get a chance to see this film on their platforms soon.
Yes, stay tuned for more updates on that soon.
Okay. And Lee, is he planning a tour that helps support this? And
he will be touring. Yeah, he has a bunch of tour dates coming up. So that's all available on his website, and they add more dates all the time. So if you take a look and don't see a show in your area, you can check again because they constantly add more dates. But yes, he will be touring.
That's awesome. Yeah, I get a chance to see him. I'm going to go check him out. Definitely. The show looks electric. He looks like a racehorse. Absolutely. Like he's not complete unless he's on stage. That's my impression. You know, that energy level, he's just waiting for that bass drum to hit, waiting for that first horn chart to start blasting and start wiggling around.
That's such a good description of him. His live show is absolutely phenomenal. If you have an opportunity to see him play live, go for it. It is something you'll never. Yeah,
we've seen people crying in the audience. You know, people have like extremely emotional experiences in the audience for Lee Fields shows. So
I could tell he touches people. You know, and that's why God invented music, because there's no words and their music takes the place. Art is how we decorate walls. Sound and music is how we decorate time. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Jessamine and Joyce, for sharing your time and energy and putting this film together. We really appreciate it. And we're going to leave with another song from Lee, share it with our listeners. So thank you so much for joining. Talk to you again.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Truly, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much.
Again, this has been Commander Todd from WFAQ LP McGonigal.
Behind the Lens, connecting cinema and sound.